The Well-Rounded Geek.
Welcome to the Well-Rounded Geek podcast, episode 11. With me in the studio today is David Ritchie for another episode of the Stoner and the Scholar Sports Show, where we talk about the latest in sports news, as well as give our opinion or hot takes on sports topics. The biggest topic of the night, David and I have been watching the NBA draft. The NBA draft just finished the first round. We're excited because the Pistons got Cade Cunningham.
Super excited. Detroit basketball back in the building.
That was the hypest moment to me. He came in with buffs.
He was buffed up.
He was.
Said, Detroit, I'm ready to go all in. Let's get it.
It's just surreal because...
made me want to run through a brick wall.
Me too. We were both freaking out. We were eating pizza and we were just like, we'll throw this plate right now. As much as I wanted this moment, I never thought it would actually happen.
No, you know? We've talked about that so many times, just through text message and stuff, and the past couple, I think last episode at least, we talked about that, how we just didn't think it was ever realistic, because it doesn't happen to Detroit. Like,
no.
Even when it does, like, so when, like, the Lions got the, and it's a little bit different with football because it's not a lottery system, but when the Lions got first picks, or, like, second pick overall, you know, you still got, like, Calvin Johnson and Stafford out of that. But still, it wasn't like, we were really, really bad, and there wasn't a whole lot of upside with that, you know? This is a whole lot different because of last year's team and draft and the way we're looking forward to add Cade to that and whatever else may happen, because who knows? You know, we saw that Plumlee trading down. Who knows what else is still to come this offseason?
Yeah, I've been talking with a lot of people, and even with you, the craziest thing about this for me is, number one, like you said, this doesn't normally happen. Outside of the Lions just being terrible and having the first pick, we don't usually have luck with the lottery system.
No.
Even the Red Wings have been getting screwed with that. But outside of just the luck factor, we got the number one overall pick at a draft where there was a player that's generational type talent.
Yes.
One of the best in the last decade. We could have been a typical Detroit team, would have won the first overall pick when the draft didn't have that many great players.
Right.
Like, could you imagine last year if we had the first overall pick? That would be like typical Pistons luck or Detroit luck, you know? But then Cade Cunningham's in the mix, and we're talking about someone that could be with this team, bring this team to the next level for his entire career. And
man,
dude, we got so lucky, but I'm so thankful.
It's a big hit. All the pieces connected. We touched on it a little bit earlier before we talked, before we started talking here about just the pieces coming together and it being doing it the right way.
The right way.
You know?
Right? We didn't tank.
We didn't tank.
We lost games, but we lost them the right way. Right. We stayed competitive.
That team went out there and played. Like, we talked about it on a podcast a couple times. They lost in the best ways possible because they went out there and fought every game, won some, and you were happy and surprised, and they were good games that they won. And then they lost a whole lot of close ones that could have went their way too, you know.
And their young talent developed last
year,
which is what you want to see. So I wrote this down. This is going to blow your mind. Just think, just listen to this starting five, okay? We have Killian Hayes, Cade Cunningham, Sadiq Bey, Jeremy Grant, and Isaiah Stewart.
Love it.
That is a whole different team.
Yeah.
All within a 2-year period.
Right.
And they're so young and they're still sponges and evolving their game. Sadiq Bey was one of the best rookies.
Yes.
In the NBA last year. Clutch draft pick by us. I don't know if we drafted him third in the first round.
Was he later third behind
Isaiah Stewart was before Sadiq
Bey. Isaiah was first.
Isaiah was second. Killian Hayes was
right,
first.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Then Isaiah Stewart. I don't remember where he went.
I keep thinking about the guy in the second round.
I always forget
his name. It's always on the tip of my tongue.
Me too. But he even played decent.
He did. He played well for a rookie that got, you know, was getting a few minutes here and there. And
yeah.
Really, towards the end of the season was getting a little bit more because he was starting to come into his own too. He had some nice games, man, where he put together like 20 points.
I know. I feel bad that we're blanking on his name because you and I like talked about him quite frequently over text and stuff. But it just shows you that Troy Weaver hit on every draft pick last year. And now the team is last year's draft. And then you add Cade Cunningham and a free agent in Grant that actually wanted to come here. And because of it, we're so much younger. We're so much more athletic. And the future is bright. And we haven't had this in so long.
Haven't had it in so long. Like you said, the future is bright. And shout out, because we keep forgetting his name, but his name is Saban Lee.
Saban Lee, yeah.
Saban Lee.
And he played well for the time that he was given, you know. And he played well when he didn't necessarily have a lot of opportunities to play because we were deep at that position.
Yeah, you know? And even if you think, like last year when we signed, Frank Jackson? And then when we got Diallo, they both played well in the minutes they got too, man. Jackson had Jackson had a big game. We scored over 25 one time. I could be wrong.
Weaver has done
have panned out.
And you just touched on it. Before we started recording, we got word that the Pistons actually traded Mason Plumlee and their 37th pick tonight to the Hornets for the 57th pick. I don't know what's going to come out of that. I don't know why we dumped that salary and why we traded down, but I'm sure we're going to find out soon. You know, maybe it was just a straight up salary dump.
How
maybe
much was he getting paid? Do you know?
No, it was still a lot for what he gives, but he still played decently last year. I mean, now we're a little bit short at that center position, so I'm curious what's about to happen with that.
Yeah, that leaves us with like Jahlil Okafor
and Stewart. You know, Stewart's definitely going to have way more
minutes, sure.
Yeah. So we'll see what shakes out with that, but I'm just still on cloud nine. Like, we got Cade Cunningham. You and I spoke it into existence. I spoke on it confidently, like, months ago with you, but I never truly in my heart felt like it was going to happen, and it just happened. And we're talking about, like, you want to buy a jersey right away. You know?
Right away. I would have bought it tonight had one up, but they had, like, some custom one up, and I'm waiting until they drop the Cade Cunningham with whatever number he's going to rock.
It just feels different in Detroit right now, just with the sports teams.
Yeah, I was going to say, not even just with the Pistons, man, but we're, you know, you can touch on the Red Wings. You know what's going on with that more than I do. But even from what you've told me, man, everything's looking up. Tigers are looking up. They're out there kicking butt right now on crazy win streaks.
After we dogged on them like a few weeks ago, you know. But
things change just that fast, and you get on a roll, and it's baseball.
Especially when you're dealing with a rebuilding young team, you know. So
And we'll see what happens with the Lions. Sorry, I don't mean to keep cutting you.
No, it's okay.
We'll see what happens with the Lions too, man. Like, we like what we've seen and heard out of the Campbell regime so far. And it's only a matter of time before we see it on the field, because we're approaching that season too.
I know. I'm excited for that. And I'm excited to just talk about that with
you. Me too.
It seems like
it'll give us more reasons to get together.
They are having more fun already. And that was definitely missing with Matt Patricia. Like, he definitely ruined the mood in the locker room.
What a jabroni, man.
Yeah. So the fun's back in Detroit for the Lions. The Pistons, the Wings, and the Tigers are rebuilding, but it feels like the tide's changing finally. And, you know, these draft picks are panning out. Free agents are wanting to come here, even in hockey. The Pistons attracted Grant. They might attract someone else. That's why they might have dropped Plumlee's contract and a pick. So I'm excited, man. I feel like my 20s, when I should have had the most fun going to certain games and stuff, were pretty impoverished for this city.
Yeah.
And at least my 30s look like it'll be exciting, you know?
Right.
And I'm excited to go to games and stuff. I would go to games with you and things like that.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's been missing for quite some time.
Yeah.
So outside of the draft, which was an extremely hype moment, there's also breaking news in the NBA. It looks like the Lakers are trading for Russell Westbrook.
Huge.
That is massive. Yeah. And I almost feel bad because you said Cade Cunningham was asked, are people going to remember this is the night that Cade Cunningham was drafted, or is this the night that Russell Westbrook went to go play with LeBron James and Anthony Davis? I'm hopeful that it's Cade Cunningham night. You know, I hope he's going to be like one of the face. He should be the face of Detroit sports in general going forward.
Yeah.
But that trade with Westbrook's crazy.
It's huge. And, you know, I think that short term people are going to remember it for the Westbrook night, but long term, yeah, Cade and the Detroit Pistons will show that.
Yeah, because I would assume
that was their night, you know.
On paper, the Lakers are back in contention again. So,
and we've talked about it, man. You lose LBJ, you got AD, you know, you can still contend a little bit. And mm-hmm. vice versa. If AD goes down and LeBron is healthy, they're still contending because that's how great they are. They both have injury history as of late. Well, LeBron as of late because he was Iron Man for so long. And then AD has always had injury problems. So to think that you get insurance policy with Russell Westbrook, who's a beast, who can light it up on any given night, who brings intensity to the offensive and
both
defensive
sides
side
of
the ball,
which they haven't had a point
guard
like
that. Dude, I heard
that.
A quote 2 years ago from, it was the, at that time, the Denver Nuggets coach. I forget his name. I think it's probably still the same coach, but he said he was asked a question about Russell Westbrook and like how he plays and stuff like that, and he said he plays like somebody pissed in his cereal.
He does.
Like he's just so ferocious and
he's a savage.
Like I said, intense on the basketball court, like no friend zone.
Mm-mm.
I'm out here to go at your neck.
It reminds me of how Kobe used to play, you know?
Love the mentality.
Like just ice in their veins.
And I think he's gotten so much heat over the years.
He has.
For not being that guy or this guy, but man, he is a baller. He's a beast, and that's a huge addition.
Yeah,
I think.
In this situation, we're about to see.
It's crazy.
Because they've been lacking a point guard.
I'm talking about that right now as if like, because I was referencing the injuries. These guys are all healthy. Whoa.
Yeah, they didn't go deep, been able to recover and heal because they were playing too frequent after the bubble, you know, and that's why a lot of these teams had injuries.
Yeah,
but
I saw something yesterday too. I can't remember the exact stat, but it was something like the teams that went to the conference finals and the finals usually don't end up lower than a 3 seed the next season. This year, all those teams were lower than the average was a 6 seed, I believe.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah, they had no rest, dude.
That's significant. You know,
I mean, look at the Heat knocked out the Bucks last year, and the Bucks just won a championship, and we'll touch on that shortly. But the Heat got smoke checked by the Bucks this year.
Like, they didn't belong.
No, but it
got swept.
Yeah, and it wasn't that. It was just it takes a toll.
The bubble was weird too, man. Like there was differences in like shooting ability and stuff. Like there's a lot of people saying that, you know, it's kind of like a discredit to that season because there was some type of shooting advantage in that.
Yeah, like Tyler Hero was going
off.
Yeah,
like he's just a bubble star and nothing else.
Yeah, but I still thoroughly enjoyed.
Which I don't think is fully true.
No.
I mean, I don't doubt that them having some type of better, I forgot what they called it, but it was like a easier.
Yeah, the shooting was crazy.
For some reason, whatever, being inside of a dome and no fans at all.
Dude, the shots that Dame was hitting
were insane. It was crazy.
It was crazy, but I loved
and
it.
And all guys were having crazy performances. Do you remember TJ Warren when they were playing for the play-in spot was dropping, I think he dropped 51 game.
He was going off. Jamal Murray was going off.
Jamal Murray went off, and that's what took them to the conference finals.
Yeah.
It was crazy. That was an insane year
I loved
of basketball.
The bubble.
I do too. I enjoyed
but
it.
But I think the Lakers would have still won regardless of bubble because they stayed healthy. You know, if they're healthy, they are still...
LeBron James is still the best player in the league when he's fully healthy, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, people are so quick to discredit him or act like he's falling off. You know, he had a fluke ankle injury.
Injuries, man.
And it was like not his, it's not an age injury. It was like right. He landed on it weird and it's hard to come back from that. And he was still playing pretty elite without being 100%. Like he's not pulling a Giannis like we just watched, but
right.
He's still elite. And he just had...
Let's also remember he's 17 years into the league, so...
He just had almost like an all-star caliber season a few years ago, you know? So he's still great. Adding Russell Westbrook and adding with AD, it's just... It's lethal. I think, you know, the Nets on paper are the best team in the NBA when complete and healthy. On paper. I think the Lakers smoke check that team.
Yeah.
I do. I think AD, Russell Westbrook, and LeBron smoke check KD, Kyrie, and James Harden.
That'd be an interesting finals to see, man.
And I don't want to discredit the Bucks because we're going to talk about them right now.
The next season hasn't even started, so we can't shoot too far ahead. But in theory, thinking about it, that would be a crazy match.
The Bucks didn't face a perfectly healthy, cohesive Nets team. That's what you want to see them. But... We got to give the Bucks credit. Let's talk about them now.
Absolutely.
They won the NBA championship. Giannis solidified his status as, in my opinion, he's like the best player in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
You know, I was shocked by his game 6 performance, and I think you were too.
Unbelievable. So I was shocked not only by that performance, but his performance across the board in the finals.
So good.
Because there's been times in the playoffs over the years where I thought, man, he maybe just didn't do enough in a game or, you know, wasn't hitting his free throws or, you know, made a mistake on a pass or something like that where it was just like, oh, man, he's not catching a break. There's something going. And it's funny because there's even a video of him mid-playoffs, I think, talking to PJ Tucker about, I've done this. And it was like all his screw-ups, right? He's like, I can't get any lower from here. And it was kind of true, man. He took that mentality and he just took control of the series. It was just absolutely amazing basketball to watch and performance by him.
He's so entertaining and he was so dominant. Like, he solidified himself.
You and I have been watching basketball for a long time. That was for a decent amount of time, not a long time, but for a good amount of years. That was one of the best performances I could imagine. It's right up there with the LeBrons and the Kobe's.
Or like how Shaq used to be. Yeah. He'd be just so dominant, just like completely taking over a series.
You just can't believe what's
like you're putting up 40
happening.
Or 50 and you're
every
getting
game.
Like double digit rebounds.
Right.
Having spectacular plays and people like it was almost like hack a Shaq. People would follow him and expect him, you know, to struggle at the free throw line. In game 6, he shot almost 90%. I mean, he went 17 for 19 from the line, dude.
89.5. Giannis, you're going to get 90. We're going to give you the 90 on that, bro. You shot 90% for a guy who is, that's one of the big knocks on him is that he can't. And obviously, it's been kind of funny the whole playoffs, the crowd's counting while he's shooting. It's counting down. Just adding more pressure, right? And to deliver that way with all that he's in Milwaukee, so you know there's not a whole lot of crowd pressure when he's shooting free throws, but regardless he doesn't shoot free throws like that normally, so he stepped up big, especially in that game. But that whole series was absolutely phenomenal by him.
I gotta give Chris Middleton credit
gotta give
too.
Him some flowers
Drew
too.
Holiday is such a great defender at his position,
man.
He played great
and he stepped two and had big offensive nights.
That team just went.
Bobby Portis came out the bench and had sparks.
Mm-hmm.
That was big after he's been floating around a little bit. PJ Tucker, defensive guy coming over from Houston.
He added some grit to that team too. They got tougher.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. It's a veteran defensive presence, man. And that's kind of, you need something like that.
You do.
You need a guy like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I felt bad for the Suns because they just had a spectacular season. Like, they were the surprise for me.
There was a moment it felt like it was their time.
Yes. And you and I had talked about it, and it just felt like something was in the water with them, you know. But
well, especially when we thought Giannis was, before game one, before the series started, was going to be sidelined or just not 100%. Used.
Yeah,
yeah, he's not going to be, you know, the regular Giannis. We thought, you know, it's pretty much a wrap up, you know. You know, might give Milwaukee
that was a
game or so, but Giannis didn't seem to be affected by any injury at any time, man. Because that first game, I think, I can't recall exactly, but I thought he scored 40. Maybe it was just shy of that. But then he proceeded to just ball out. And they lost the first two games and won four straight.
Yeah. Those first two games.
That's crazy.
They were struggling a little bit. And I was doubting them a little bit. But then that game three, it was like, it just felt different. They were imposing their will
with
multiple players. And I was just like, oh man, you were witnessing everything change. And then I didn't think they were going to actually win four straight. I didn't think they were going to win that game six.
Yeah.
I thought it would actually come back to
a game seven. In Phoenix.
Yeah. So good on them though, because they did not want to play with fire with that and go to game seven in Phoenix.
No, they took over and did what they had to do, man. And big thing, like you said, giving Chris Middleton his flowers, because he's been kind of known as a back and forth guy when it comes to his consistency in games, having really big outings where 35, 40 points helping contribute and win big playoff games. And then the next night coming out, you know, not nowhere near those numbers and that type of performance that the team needs to win in the playoffs. But it seemed like after those first two games, he was consistency, man.
He was hitting shots.
He did exactly what he had to do afterwards. Drew Holiday's help. I mean, everybody played and did their thing, man.
Chris Middleton was hitting those shots. I think I was telling you, like, as a fan, you hold your breath because you know that your team needs to score this shot.
So true, man.
Knocking them down.
And that struck when you hit me because I've watched – it made me think of like the Golden State Cavs series for so many years, where as a LeBron fan, and I am watching those teams, wanting LeBron teams to win, but that juggernaut in Golden State that can go for 20
anything, yeah,
in a snap of a finger, and your team's getting blown out, and the game's over in the third quarter. You know what I'm saying? And that would happen all the time because Golden State was just that good and that elite at shooting the basketball, and they would shoot big threes. And they would sink them consistently, and they were just daggers, dude. It was like, oh man, you can't shovel out of this, you know.
Yeah.
And when you said that, I'm like, you know what? That's exactly what that was. You just hitting those shots where you're like you're holding your breath, hoping that doesn't hit, and they go through, and it's like, man, you can't.
Because
if
you're
not going to deny it,
dude. If you would have missed some of those shots, the way of the game would have changed and leaned more towards the Suns, but no, because it was always like shots that they needed to hit so bad because the Suns were coming back or you could tell they were getting hot again, but no, it was like a dagger.
Yeah.
The final nail in a coffin,
right?
You know? But I don't know if we fully touched on this yet, but before we move on outside of the NBA, I just want to talk about how good it is for the NBA that the Bucks won and a superstar like Giannis won without building a super team and staying in a market like that and being loyal to the team that drafted him. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's huge, man, because it's been a long time since we've seen that.
Forever, dude. Forever.
Yeah, really,
Dallas?
Because once... No, yeah. Because they weren't a super team. They had an aging Jason Kidd. Sean Marion was a little bit older. Was never really a superstar. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I can't. OKC? They didn't win it, though. They went to a finals, but they didn't win it.
Dude, once Miami, once
the
Celtics
once
formed
the
a super team.
Once the Celtics started organically and LeBron realized that he had to go somewhere else because Cleveland just wasn't going to do it. And let's not forget about that. LeBron didn't leave because they had a super team in Cleveland and can't get it done. Every time it felt like they would get a player 2 years past being able to contribute what they needed. Like Brendan Haywood, Shaq. I can't even think of the other guys.
Everyone's
right now.
Way
it was a while
past
ago
the moment
now.
That they would contribute.
To be able to help win a championship. You know what I mean?
I mean, the Warriors, dude, the Warriors, when they were winning without KD, were the definition of like a perfectly formed team through the draft, through free agency.
Yeah, I guess that was the last time we saw it, was those 2 years.
Yeah, but Giannis, the Bucks is just something different because
it is.
Milwaukee is not a high market,
but,
you know.
But it all changes now because now does another superstar want to go and play with Giannis?
Right,
can
I don't
know. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine if, I don't think this would ever happen, but if Dame Lillard decided he'd want to go to Milwaukee?
That'd be crazy.
Sheesh.
I don't want to see that, though. I liked seeing the Bucks beat the Nets. I liked seeing the Bucks as champions. I liked Giannis doing it the right way. I love Giannis. He's so funny.
I love that they won it, and I'm happy for them. The back of my mind always thinks about what we talked about earlier, though, with had it been a regular season, had it not been weirdly... started so early, would there have been be super team? Would these super teams like the Nets
have went further? Yeah,
the Lakers and you know Clippers with be if they would have had Kawhi?
Yeah,
would that have changed? Would they have beat Phoenix in that first round? Would Milwaukee have gotten through that really tough 7-game series with Brooklyn without James Harden or without Kyrie,
right?
And a little bit of James Harden for the for that series.
I'm not sure. We're gonna find out probably next year.
We'll see next year. But regardless, the Bucks balled out. Giannis balled the hell out, and they took that championship, man. So shout out to them. They deserve it, man.
And if he continues, dude, if he continues to get better,
dude, if he can learn how to shoot the rock, wow.
One of the greatest at the power forward position ever.
Yeah, like, is it fair to say that if he learns how to do that and plays with longevity, he could be a top 5 player of all time?
Oh, easily.
It's, I mean, his,
it's the longevity that you need. You know, we can so easily talk about it right now, but we need to see, is he going to 10 years from now be playing like LeBron plays, you know? But if he does... For sure.
Because
he's putting up right now.
He plays a harder style of basketball. Mm-hmm. He's a drive first, paint, body up, physical scorer. He doesn't have too much of that mid range or, you know, he's not a 3-level scorer, like they say. He's really great close, not so good mid range, and really not good from three.
He was improving that slightly in that even in that finals. And when I saw some of those shots drop, and I thought, oh, Phoenix has no chance.
That's
dude.
Another thing, too, is just the elevation of his game.
For sure.
For that. And you, that's where you take the hat off and go, okay, man, you all hats off to you. You deserved and took this and, you know, didn't leave it up to chance. He balled out. Every single game, man.
And that was a great series.
It was fantastic.
Just that series in general was awesome.
It was refreshing because we haven't seen, you know, Phoenix wasn't a super team either.
Yeah.
We haven't been able to see, you know, these young, organically built teams.
Yes.
Go out there and go at it. And it was really entertaining.
It was a beautiful thing. And now the Pistons just drafted Cade Cunningham. It was a great NBA
season.
This
makes you so much more hype for our future, too. You know?
I know. I'm excited. So we'll use this moment to shift into the final two topics. We're going to have a little bit of a shorter show today because it was really impromptu just to talk about the draft. But I did want to go over the most recent UFC fight. We don't have to go over the whole card, but there was a fight night with TJ Dillashaw. He was back. Did you watch that fight? What did you think about that? He fought Corey Sanhagen and he won. What'd you think about that?
I did watch that fight. And honestly, I thought Sanhagen won. I don't know if it was like a robbery or.
It was a close fight. It was a great fight.
It was.
Loved that fight.
But we even talked about it earlier with like, and you were touching on it more that night about the fight with like the, just the judges kind of being weird on the scoring and
the UFC judges have been highly questionable.
It's weird sometimes, man. Like there's some fights you listen to the scores when they're not announcing winners and you're like, what? How did you come to that conclusion?
Yeah, they make no sense. They need to get that under control. That fight could have gone either way. I thought Sanhagen won because of just the sheer amount of damage. Same. But I thought TJ Dillashaw still looked excellent for coming back, facing adversity because he tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs. You know, he's an ex-champion. They always say, you know, you can have ring rust from as many years as he was out. He definitely proved that wrong. He looked like he didn't miss a step. I think I was texting you before the fight and I said, you know, Sanhagen's a beast. You know, he's unorthodox and he's good at like everything. He might smoke check TJ Dillashaw because Dillashaw hasn't fought in so long.
Right.
Boy, was I wrong. TJ Dillashaw looked fresh.
Yep.
He looked like he can compete for a belt again right away. And I sort of feel bad for Sanhagen because this was his moment. Like he was going to fight for a belt right after this.
But. Yeah, if he would have gotten that win, he would be next in line for whoever wins with Aljo and Petr Yan.
Yeah. So TJ Dillashaw's back in the mix. He looked excellent. I don't know what's really next for him. I don't think he necessarily fights for the belt right away, but maybe he wants to stay active.
He said he wants to stay active. He wants the winner of that championship fight. But that fight's happening this year, or is that scheduled for next year? They said something about it the other day.
It's coming up. Yeah, it's
so it'll be this year. Mm-hmm. So maybe by 22 we'll see him fighting for the belt. He also said he wants to be active though and fight in the top 5. So does he ruin his chances? I mean, does he have to fight in the top 5? I don't know. It's so weird. The UFC's weird with that. It kind of doesn't make a lot of sense to me sometimes that like guys hold out for so long and still get chances.
Yeah, I hate that.
It's just, and not to say that, obviously Dillashaw wasn't holding out. He got suspended. From what he says, he owned up to his suspension and probably from that day forward, he was training for his comeback. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, guys like, we touch on it for a second, like Colby Covington that sat around for so long or then fought Tyrone Woodley, who was on a decline, let's be honest.
And now he's getting another
title. Now he's about to fight Usman for the title again. He hasn't fought anybody since. And it's just, man, it just seems like the more active you are is you should be the one getting the shots.
Yeah, it's not good for the sport.
But then if Dillashaw loses because he's active to a top 5 guy, then that washes up his whole plan.
But yeah. I don't know. It's sort of like,
like he just got to fight, dude.
You know who's been doing stuff the right way is Robert Whittaker. Because ever since he's lost to Adesanya, he has been active and just picking everyone apart. And he's a beast. So, you know, if Dillashaw can't fight for a title right away, I saw that there was rumor for him to run it back with Cody, even though Cody's coming off of a loss.
Yeah, Garbrandt.
Because they have beef.
Right, it would just be a draw.
Yeah.
Type fight.
I feel like Dillashaw has sort of gotten a lot of hate, even before he tested positive for performance enhancing. He always talks about how McGregor like ruined his image because anything Conor said carried a lot of weight. And when Conor was on The Ultimate Fighter with Uriah Faber, he called TJ Dillashaw a snake in the grass. And TJ Dillashaw ended up leaving that team and going to train with like some of the best in the world because he wanted to be a champion. And he got so much hate for it. Now he's like a heel because of it.
Yeah, and I've seen that episode of The Ultimate Fighter where he was saying that in the gym. And then I've seen also episode of when it was Garbrandt, Dillashaw, Ultimate Fighter, and them talking about that. What is the big deal with leaving to elevate yourself in your career?
There's nothing wrong with that. You can't be loyal to the point where it's ruining your chances.
Where it affects you from what you want to pursue and do.
He became a champion.
If you don't think it's the best for you.
Right. He became a champion and he's...
So what's with the stick up, you know, Cody Garbrandt and their teams?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean...
I don't know. Uriah Faber wasn't all that. Like, he didn't bag on Dillashaw, did he?
He's just more respectful, but he definitely wasn't effing with it, you know? Yeah. But... he got a lot of flack for it, and I think it's because Connor just carried so much weight with whatever he said was
people
like
just drew to what he said and believed it.
Then once Dillashaw, you know, dropped dirty, you know, he's
more reason.
He's such a heel now because of it. But the sport's better with people like him fighting because he's good, dude.
Right.
He looked excellent. And even without, obviously, he's not taking those drugs anymore. And he still had a gas tank, you know. He was fighting a 5-round fight after being off for 2 years and looking fresh every round.
Against the next guy up in the division and won.
So, yeah. So I'm excited for what comes out of the rest of his fights. We've talked about what's coming up for the UFC last episode, so we don't have to go over that again. The other thing I wanted to talk about before we end this show, though, is there are rumors that Anderson Silva is going to have a boxing match with Logan Paul. What do you think about that?
I think good luck, Logan Paul. You're going to get knocked up. Look out!
Dude, Anderson Silva looked good.
Anderson Silva is one of the GOATs at fighting. And I didn't watch that boxing match. We talked about it on one of the last pods. And you said he was out there just sharp as a knife, dude.
He
just doing his thing, man.
As he looked in the UFC,
boxing
dude.
Is different, too.
Yeah.
I feel like you can be a little bit more successful if you're older. And he was good on...
If you're technical.
And he was good standing up with that.
Yeah, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is good.
Yeah.
He's not a slouch. It's not like these celebrity exhibition matches, you know. He's like a genuine boxer.
A professional boxer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Silva held his own and then some. So
there's a good little payday for you, Anderson.
Yeah.
And
he deserves it.
Logan Paul's going to get touched up, man.
Good.
You're going in there with one of the GOATs.
I want to see...
Get out of here.
Him fight Silva, and I want to see...
Yeah, when's that Woodley fight, bro?
The other Paul brother. I'm excited for that, too.
Woodley seems kind of motivated and hyped to put
some
damage on him.
Mm-hmm. I saw him training with Floyd.
Right, so we got a motivated Woodley now in boxing. He doesn't have to... It's not MMA, you know? He can go out there and just stand up and scrap. I know that wasn't always his specialty, but he could do it.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about any of the other stuff.
Obviously, to date, this is going to be Jake Paul's toughest test because we're talking about a champion fighter. We're not talking about a champion wrestler like Ben Askren, who got a fluke win against Robbie Lawler. And
he can't stand up at all.
And then it absolutely got KO'd by Jorge Masvidal.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, has zero stand-up game. He's never been known for that.
Mm-mm.
And you see clips of it and you're like, God, he moves so slow. It was just so bad.
I know. I felt like if I... felt threatened by him in an alley, I'd be able to fight him.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe not wrestle, but I'd be able to
I wouldn't be able to wrestle him.
Well, I'm excited for that Silva Paul fight if that comes into fruition.
Yeah.
Thank you again for even coming over, hanging out with me.
Absolutely.
Just to remind everyone, Cade Cunningham is a
Detroit
Piston.
Piston, number one pick, baby, 2021. Let's go.
And we'll talk about more things when we get together next, but thanks again for coming over.
Absolutely, man.
And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Me too.
I just want to take a quick moment to give a huge shout out to Caged Muscle Supplements. If you guys don't know, I just recently joined their innovator program and I couldn't be more excited to be associated with one of, if not in my opinion, the best supplement companies in the world. You can head over to my Instagram page to learn more about their products as well as their culture. You can also use the link in my bio as well as my promo code JG15 to save 15% on your order. The Well-Rounded Geek.